Moving into the barriers, Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Set and underway for Moody on the mic.
Moody on the mic, back for another week. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me, of course, the man himself, Peter Moody. That would make sense. The man who wants it to be his show, Anthony Mithen. And, of course, the resident Rain Man, Tom Hackett. Gents, welcome back, Moods. You've had some great horses in your time. And we saw another one who's edging into that realm of great horses and Mr. Brightside on the weekend. He may not have beaten a banner field in the Futurity Stakes, but he is a winner and he is winning group one after group one at the moment.
He's absolutely flying in the... I thought his performance might have been a little bit off the top after his very tough run first up when he won the Futurity, Mr. Brightside, because he had a horrid run that day and he ran down Pride of Jenny. And, you know, sometimes horses backing up 14 days later off an effort like that, you know, it can dull their performance a bit. I suggested on this show last week that, you know, just be guarded. I couldn't see him being beaten, but I expected him to be off his top. But I thought he was better again. He's phenomenal. He's resilient. Then people start questioning the quality of opposition. Well, it's weight for age, open handicaps. Everyone's invited. He can only beat what's there, but by God, he does it and does it well. He's a phenomenal horse.
You weren't the only one who had some concerns, Moods, because I think it was J.D. Hayes said on radio Saturday morning after that run in the All, he looked like he'd gone 10 rounds. Now, I don't know what that means when a horse looks like they've gone 10 rounds, but I would have thought, you know, that's the sort of stuff that'll get you banned from racing for 3 months. But, he came out and he won like a champ. And Rayman, are you finally a believer now?
Oh, I think I've always been a believer in Mr. Brightside's quality, Rog, but I think he's ended up being a lot better than I thought he was going to be. And I think his consistency, like even those races that he didn't win during the spring, we know like he was only narrowly denied by Romantic Warrior in the Ladbrokes Cox Plate. You think now Mr. Brightside, he's already stamping up to be an all-timer. If you think if that photo finish goes the other way and you add a Ladbrokes Cox Plate to his resume, then you're really talking about a really special horse. But I do think the Hayes boys deserve a lot of credit for the way they've managed the horse. I think he's been really well placed. They've been able to keep him up for a long time. He's raced really well across a lot of different distance ranges. And I think there was a lot of people who thought when David Hayes made the move to Hong Kong and sort of left the boys there in charge, that it might be the beginning of the end of the Lindsay Park dynasty. But that certainly has not been the case at all. The stable's absolutely flying with Mr. Brightside leading the way. So, no, I think the Hayes boys deserve a lot of credit. And Mr. Brightside's going to go to the All-Star Mile as a close to an unbackable favourite. But maybe the big race, and we see Fangirl in action again this weekend in the Very Elegant Stakes. If she comes out and wins really well again, then maybe the race we're all looking forward to is the Fangirl versus Mr. Brightside over 2,000 metres in the Queen Elizabeth, because we saw them go toe-to-toe in the spring in the King Charles that day when Fangirl ended Mr. Brightside's winning streak in emphatic fashion. And I think there's an argument to be made that she's come back just as good, if not better. So that showdown between those two, and then probably throw a European horse and throw a Japanese horse in the mix, you could have a really high-quality edition of the Queen Elizabeth Stakes this year.
Yeah, that's the sort of stuff that'll get the punters frothing, no doubt. You touched on Romantic Warrior just then in your Brightside analysis. Mytho, Romantic Warrior, and your old mate J-Mac came out and won again on the weekend, the Hong Kong Gold Cup. And, well, he is an out-and-out champion, Romantic Warrior. There's no doubt about that.
Well, yeah, he had to come to Australia to prove it, didn't he? And win that Cox Plate. We spoke about that Hong Kong bubble last year, didn't we, before he came here. And little underwhelming first up in Australia, wins the Cox Plate, goes back, continues his winning ways in Hong Kong. Mr. Brightside versus Romantic Warrior. You know, that are they going to get too old before we see that in a real sense? But I can't put my finger on why Mr. Brightside is not, he's popular, but he's not spoken about in revered terms. He's not Winx-esque, is he? And Black Caviar.
I think he's getting up there. I think his popularity has just gone gangbusters since the spring.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a pretty basic group of people that have come together to race the horse in the syndicate. There's no high flyers in there. It's a feel good story, and he's named after one of the best songs the Killers have ever strummed to. So it's got all the ingredients of just sort of cult hero status. But I don't really know why it hasn't sort of risen to those heights just yet. And I'm looking forward to the day it does because I'm on the bandwagon.
As a bit of Achilles fanatic, I can say that Mr. Brightside's not even in their top 10. I don't think. I prefer some of their deeper cuts. And if you haven't heard some of the Killers' latest stuff and the last few years since COVID, they've put out a few really, really good albums. So jump on Spotify and have a listen. The Killers' latest stuff is fantastic.
As a Richmond fan, it should be renamed that song. It should be called Jack's Song, but we'll debate that another day.
Moods, have you ever had a horse win anywhere near 51 races?
No, 25 is the best I've gone, Rog.
Halfway there. Halfway, Harry.
Only halfway there, but what a remarkable effort. Fab's Cowboy, the warrior from Western Queensland, trained at Bark Alden these days by Bevan Johnson and his family, and an unbelievable effort. He won his 50th 3 or 4 weeks back, and I've got to say it's very remiss of me. I missed his 51st on the weekend. But Bevan called me Billy Johnson. Phenomenal effort. I think the horse has got to retire this year. He's rising 12. This will be his last season of racing, and under the current rules of Australian racing, doesn't matter what jurisdiction you're in.
He actually is 12, Boots. I had a look before, and he is 12 already, so he must have got special permission to continue racing. I think he definitely has to retire at the end of this year. Right. But his birthday is 2011, so he is a 12-year-old already.
Oh, well, maybe it's to the end of your 12th season that he is allowed to race.
Where would you have rather been on Saturday, Moods? At Caulfield or watching Fab's Cowboy win his 51st race?
After the day I had at Caulfield, Mitho, I've got no doubt I would have rather been where Fab's Cowboy. I'm presuming it was probably Mount Isa, was it, Roger?
It was Mount Isa. So, that's, like I say, that's his 50. His record now, 149 starts, 51 wins, 31 seconds and 12 thirds. So that's a 33% win rate over 149 starts, or a bit above that. His debut run, he ran 9th of 11 in a 1,000-metre maiden at Roma on November 21, 2015. So at that point, the Bulldogs still hadn't won a premiership for 61 years, and Richmond was more a disaster than a dynasty. And I think Moods was actually still training the first time around.
Far out. That's unbelievable.
We certainly were, and it's been a phenomenal effort. And I've had the fortune, and I actually shared footage of him a couple of years ago on this show when I watched him work one morning up there in central Queensland. And, the horse looks like a spring chicken, and Billy and Mel Johnson and their daughter Dakota Graham and all the team, they just love him. He's just a part of the furniture around their place. And I'd reckon he'll probably live out his days in the stables. He's one of those horses spent more time in the stables than he has anywhere else. And I'd reckon he'd probably just stay around the stables. He'd be like most people in the bush. They have an old stable goat or an old stable dog or a chook pen. I reckon at the Johnson stable, it'll be Fab's Cowboy. He'll be there until the day he falls over.
The good thing about this show is that anyone who's ever listened more than about 3 or 4 episodes will know that absolutely zero planning goes into it from a large part of the panel. So that's
Rog, that's quite incorrect. Given that I had to plan, I'm supposed to be selling horses at English Melbourne Premier and got a bloody tent full of marquee full of bloody punters down there drinking my free booze. I had to plan very seriously to be somewhere else at 4 o'clock to talk this rubbish with you and your mates.
And if you hadn't have gone off on that little 45-second tangent, you would have been back drinking your own frothies a lot quicker, Mitho. But what I'm saying is that gives us the chance to pretty much bring up anything we want. And, last week when we jumped on, you were still seething, Mitho, about the ride from Billy Egan on the Quickster at Sandown on the Wednesday. Well, Moods, I've got to ask, have you had a bit of a word to old Billy about his ride on Autumn Angel in the Armanasco on Saturday?
So are you jumping on my side of the fence, are you, Rog?
He has not had... Well, I'll tell you what, there's another one that might be even more questionable. He hasn't had a good week, Billy, and he's riding a Group 1 for you on Saturday, Moods.
No, it wasn't his best week for the stables, Billy, although I didn't see the fault in his ride on Quickster. He wasn't Robinson Crusoe who lined up and gave me a sore back at Caulfield on Saturday. There was a few jockeys Listen, we're always quick to blame the jockeys, and myself as quick as anyone. Sometimes it's lack of ability, but sometimes you just sit back and wonder what the hell went on and what happened there. So I've always been respectful that they 50-odd kilos on a 500-kilo animal going at 70 k's an hour, and it's a split-second decision-making process. But I suppose the good ones get it right more times than they get it wrong, and that's what makes them good. But sometimes you think, well, you've got a rider that does have excellent ability, rides well, and is in good form, and you just still shake your head. And that happened to me on more than one occasion on Saturday. So, unfortunately, we've got to build a bridge and move on very quickly in this caper, Rog, because they raced again today and they're on again on Saturday.
Lucky they didn't build a bridge sort of on the way between the mounting yard and the birdcage there on Saturday, because I reckon Moods would have jumped off it. I saw him walking backwards and forwards that track all day because I was in the Hiskin stand. I had a few clients up there, and the knuckles just got a little bit closer to the ground, and the chin just dropped a little bit further, and the hat just tilted down a little lower in the hope that no one recognised the big man as he trudged on down that pathway, the well-worn track to defeat. It was a tough old day for a few of us, Pete.
Before we go to the break, Roger, I just want to say I think Blake McDougal might question whether Moods has always treated jockeys with respect, as he's just claimed there.
Yeah, poor old Blakey. He copped one of the great sprays, didn't he, Pete?
But he copped it on the chin and moved on, and no issues at all. As did Billy Egan, as did Jay Carr, and a few others
over a period of time. I reckon Linda and Luke would have copped a few over the years too.
They cop plenty and bounce back, and they're still there.
Launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including Bet Ticker. See where the big bets land in real time. Yard Comment, giving you the on-course insight straight from the parade ring. And Black Book, add your favourite runners and get notified before they race. Ladbrokes.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Three great ones on this weekend, two in Sydney, one in Melbourne. Let's head to Sydney first, Rayman, and take a look at the first edition of the Very Elegant Stakes from the now late great superstar, Very Elegant.
Yeah, the race formerly known as the Chipping Norton Stakes, Rog, and Fangirl, who has the same trainer as Very Elegant, James McDonald in the saddle as well, is the $1.45 favourite. Just Fine on the second line of betting at $8. Think It Over, $8.50. Buckaroo, $13. My old mate Cascadian is in there at $16 as well. But I will not be tipping Cascadian to beat Fangirl on Saturday. For me, I think Fangirl, the way that, and we don't like to make this comparison, but the way that she just loomed into that win first up was Winx-esque. And we saw what she did last preparation in that King Charles. She was then very unlucky in the Ladbrokes Cox Plate. I think she has gone to another level, and I think she's deserving of her status as a $1.45 favourite here. I certainly won't be betting against her. I think she's comfortably the horse to beat. Drawn barrier 10, but James McDonald in the saddle. James McDonald just makes barriers don't matter when James McDonald's riding in great form. He'll find a nice spot for her. And I think, like she did in the Apollo Stakes, I think she'll just prove too good for them. So nothing crazy here. I think Fangirl will be far too good for them.
I actually saw a video clip on Twitter, X, just before. It was a Sky Racing thing, and some of the Sky Racing stable giving their big calls for the autumn. And Tony Martin, who hosts your Saturday afternoon coverage, said, I think Cascadian, he's one of my favourites. He's getting old now. I think he's got another big one in him. I'm like, oh, he's been talking to Rain Man. At least you've got friends out there in Cascadian corner. Good to have you in the Fangirl fan club, though, Rain Man, because this is essentially the same field, but it's 1600 as the Apollo. Weight for age. There's no three-year-old like Militarize down in the weights as an X factor. 1400 is, I think, her pet trip, but she's going that well. Another win at the mile beckons. It's basically a benefit. There's no genuine miler here. I think a tissue, if she goes there, is probably the only danger. But I'm certain she's going to go to Melbourne and run in the Blamey. And Waller's going to win the Blamey with a tissue. So, yes, Fangirl, $1.45, better than bank interest.
Yeah, I can't argue against any of that. She looks roll gold, and I would have thought that she'll be winning, and you're just throwing all the multis. We've got to get it. We've got one of these short price multis up, don't we? Like, come on, punters. Just no hiccups this weekend. Let's just take the shorties, and I'll be throwing Fangirl in mine.
Yeah, simple. Fangirl wins again. Think it over for the Quinella. The field for third might be the way to get a bit of value. Plain and simple, she's the best.
A couple more races like that, Mitho, and you'll be back drinking tens with you with your mates in no time at all. That was very easily done. Let's move on to the surround stage. Sharp, this is going to be a little bit tougher, and especially given the Moody stable does have a legit chance here, Ray Man. Run us through the market in a very competitive race.
Yeah, it is a really competitive race, the surround stakes. Shouldn't be a group one, in my opinion, but that's just me. Learning to Fly is the favourite. It's $3.50. Komachi on the second line of betting at $6. Tiz Invincible, $6.50. Tropical Squall, first up, has been the early market mover, $12 into $7. And then Moods has got Roll on High, $13. Doesn't send as many horses to Sydney these days, Moods. Well, back in the day, he had the Sydney-based stable, but I'd wager your strike rate's been pretty good in Sydney since you've made that training return, Mood. So I think Roland High goes into the race with a really interesting chance. I think of a lot of the fillies in this field, she's got an enormous amount of upside. Only had the four race starts. Finished last campaign with two impressive wins and looks like the sky's the limit. And I'm going to mention it before Mitho does. Bred the sire is Seamus Award, who it's good to mention on the show again. So Roland High, I'll definitely be having something on at the $13. I do think the favourite Learning to Fly is the horse to beat, though. First up off a very long break was very good in the Light Finger Stakes where it finished second. I think it should take natural improvement from that run. And that will make her very tough to beat. So Learning to Fly and Roll on High are the two for me.
We are seeing this race the very same way because, yeah, Roll on High does actually look the value runner here. Lightly raced. If the big fella's sending her up there for a group one of their fifth start, she must be going all right. Did beat the 1,000 Guineas winner last start. You mentioned her last prep, Ray Man. And before that, when she broke her maiden, she beat Grinzinger Bell. And that form's stacking up quite nicely too. Learning to Fly, so close, first up in the Group 2 Light Fingers at 1,200. That was the only blemish of her career bar when she lost the rider in the Golden Slipper. So who knows where she could be by now, but she looks a really nice horse. I've got her on top. I think if she sits around that 350 mark, then, yeah, that's definitely a bet. But I'll absolutely be saving on Moods' Girl Roll on High at about $15.
Yeah, I reckon Learning to Fly might be a star. And we were, unfortunately, well, she nearly died, didn't she? And she's come back in, wanted to see her come back and show that she still wanted to be a racehorse because I think Moods could attest to this. Often horses, not only do they suffer physically, but they suffer mentally from a race fall like that where they've got to actually think about wanting to compete again. And she's clearly made of the tough stuff. So I thought her return to racing was exemplary and was sort of heartwarming too to see a horse get over those injuries and get off the deathbed and come back. So I'll be barracking for the two horses you've mentioned, one for obvious reasons being by Seamus Award and the other because I really like her story and I like her as a horse. I think she might be a star.
Yeah, listen, I agree with that. Learning to Fly has looked, her run the other day was phenomenal. Once again, harking back to the Mr. Brightside thing, first run for basically a year. She ran enormous, probably only conditioned Costa, 14 days up to 1,400. Is she going to be a little bit vulnerable second up? But I would have thought she's the filly to beat. But, you know, what a terrific bunch of fillies. Tropical Squall took all before her, barring an Oaks win. Komachi, the bridesmaid, was brilliant first up in beating Learning to Fly. Tiz Invincible had absolutely no luck. And my filly Roll on High beat the 1,000 Guineas Quinella late in the spring. So a terrific race. I think Learning to Fly is the horse to beat on Roll on High. She's prepped up terrifically well. She's had a few trials here at home. She's done a lot of work the Sydney way of going. From gate 11, she'll be back into the field and looking to steam down the centre. How's the track going to play and how the pattern of the day is probably dictates her chances. You would imagine the tempo will be good with Tropical Squall and a couple of others rolling along up front. I think she'll get a chance to run on strong, but the one she's got to beat is Learning to Fly.
Are you going to Sydney, Moods, for this one?
No, I'll be at home with the Melbourne sales on and Catherine will take a place in Sydney. I would have loved to have gone up there because obviously earlier in the day we've got the short price Golden Slipper favourite, Storm Boy running in the Skyline Stakes, so it'll be very exciting to see how he returns to the races as well in race four. So it looks to be a good day at Randwick, and let's hope we play a part in the Group 1 surround stakes, even though Tommy doesn't think it should be a Group 1. And surprisingly for Sydney, it looks like the track will present pretty good on Saturday with no rain forecast at this stage.
I was just going to ask, I know it's not a race that we're previewing, but that Stormboy race, Rain Man, I think Ladbrokes have put him up $1.24, Fangirl $1.45. Which is the better price?
I think there's an argument to be made that Stormboy is the better price. I think that from what everything we saw in that Magic Millions Classic, like he put up an elite two-year-old number in that race from a rating standpoint. We're seeing Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Botts stable have sort of dominated this two-year-old race. Obviously, they didn't quite win the Blue Diamond last week, but I think Storm Boy could be something very, very special. So I think it's going to be a very, very popular multi, Storm Boy into Fangirl, probably into the favourite in the Australian Guineas, which we'll be talking about next.
Well, great segue there, Ray, man. You're really getting a hang of this media caper. The Australian Guineas is the next race that we're going to preview. And it's a decent honour roll in this race. Now, Legato won it last year, Hitotsu the year prior, Alligator Blood in 2020, Luna Fox, of course, who could forget, 300-1 won it in 2021. Moods has never won this race. Seamus Award won this race in 2014, of course, one of only two wins for Seamus Award, the first being the Cox Plate, the only horse to do that as a maiden. And then, of course, he backed up and won the Australian Guineas, the only horse to win those two races.
Criterion was a good thing licked in that Australian Guineas. Took him a long time to get out. He would have run down Seamus Award. Seamus Award made his own luck on the speed. He was off and gone. But if Criterion gets out a few steps earlier, he would have won that Australian Guineas comfortably.
You've also got horses like Miss Finland and Apache Cat. I think Apache Cat 06, Miss Finland 07. So, look, there's certainly some good winners over the years. Will we find one this year? Well, that remains to be seen. Rayman, give us the market and then your thoughts on this year's renewal of the Australian Guineas.
Riff Rocket's the favourite to join that illustrious honour roll. He's $2.40. V8 was on the second line of betting. Just now, King Colorado, the Ladbrokes JJ Atkins winner, has been backed into $7. V8 now $8. They absolutely dominate this market. You've got Snow Patrol at $12. Southport Tycoon at $13. Bit of money for it early. But I think Riff Rocket is going to be awfully hard to beat here. I was a little bit suspect on him first up in the CS Hayes because I thought he might
just... Yeah, we remember.
Yeah, well, you were right, Mitho, and I was a little bit suspect that day thinking that Chris Waller might just not have him at his top, and he probably didn't have him at his top, but he just had the class to win that race, and I think he does have the class to make it two from two this preparation. I think he showed in the spring that he is a very talented three-year-old. I'd certainly not the strongest three-year-old crop we've ever seen, but of the sort of miler types, I think he might end up being the best of them. So I'm happy to take the short price and offer for Riff Rocket. I think he's going to be very tough to beat. I think $2.40 is a pretty good bet. I think if there is going to be a three-year-old that can challenge the older horses, maybe in a Doncaster this year, I think it could be Riff Rocket.
As you mentioned, Moods and Mitho were all over him first up in the CS Hayes and talked me into backing him, actually. So thanks very much, guys, because I think he was about $8. That run... You throw that run in and his other Flemington runs, the VRC Derby, and when he smoked them in the superimposed there at 1,800 metres, you got to think that this is his race to lose. It might be a little boring, but, you know, he's getting a little bit short, but at this distance, he should have their measure. That Flemington record is phenomenal. And we're slowly constructing a multi here, guys, because you talk about those shorties, Mitho. Well, very elegant. Fangirl, Storm Boy, Riff Rocket. And maybe if we do throw in Learning to Fly, there's probably 10 to 1 there. So we'll see how we go. But definitely Riff Rocket for me. And I'd imagine you're on that bandwagon, given that you were driving it 2 weeks ago, Mitho.
I was driving it. And I just felt like, you know, what he did in the spring and got out to that Derby trip was just on class. And you know, I'm hitting a repeat on what I said a couple of weeks ago, but had a feeling that they might be setting him for these shorter trips. And we've been waiting for sort of a three-year-old to really stand up in this crop and say, I'm the superstar. And I think this horse might be it. So I'll be chips in Riff Rocket Saturday.
Listen, no argument from me, team. It sounds a bit boring, I know, but like Mitho and I, we both liked him first up and gave him a good chance, and he didn't let us down. He was super on that day. I think if there's a little curveball there, maybe down to the 15, Quintissa, The Kiwi filly, we've seen this Tiako stable be very strong lately. And
what's she buy, Moods?
Yeah, no, the Seamus Award filly, Mytho. Funny enough that you picked up on that. But
it is sales season. It's got to use every opportunity. Yeah,
she's probably the little question mark, as is the Pendragon from the Mike Moroney stable, who's actually got a victory over...
I thought you were talking about the stallion Pendragon. I can't believe there's a horse called Pendragon.
He's called the Pendragon, Anthony.
Well, he was called Pendragon in New Zealand, but they had to change the name because there was a nice horse that Dato Tanchin Nam owned.
Yeah, exactly. And so unfortunately, he's come up with gate 14. He's got the visitor's draw, his first run over here. So it probably gives Quintessa the slight edge on him. And The last run at Wake for Age wasn't too bad. So we've seen these Kiwi horses come over and run very, very well in the guineas of recent years, and the New Zealand three-year-old form's really stacked up. So that's the curveball. But seeing is believing. Riff Rocket on top from Quintessa, and keep an eye on the Pendragon from a very bad gate. It's probably hard to see the other horses around Riff Rocket turning the tables on, and you think he'll be bigger, better and stronger at the mile.
Launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including Bet Ticker, Yard Comment and Black Book. Ladbroken. What's gambling really costing you?
Best bets time on Moody on the mic. And I think we might have a new leader on the leaderboard because my best bet, Revolutionary Miss, second week in a row, I've got one up at over $4. I think $7.60 it paid in some places last week. Where I got it. So I've knocked you off there, Mytho. How's Kiwi Corner going, Rayman? Are we going back to Kiwi Corner this week, or are we going to sit in Australia? Maybe try and do some work on this side of the Tasman.
I'm going to do both today, Rog. Kiwi's Corner, to be honest, has been battling quite badly, but it's a massive day at Ellerslie.
Badly? It's been a fucking disaster.
Yeah, I think that is. I would agree with you, Rog. But, you know, we've still got plenty of races left in New Zealand this year. New Zealand Derby Day at Ellerslie on Saturday. We know the New Zealand Derby is always an extremely strong form reference for the Australian Derby and all the major three-year-old staying races. And there's a very good horse who's the favourite, Orchestral, who's a $1.50 favourite. I think he'll be winning the New Zealand. She will be winning the New Zealand Derby, I should say, and she'll be coming over to Australia, and she'll be winning the Australian Oaks as well, if you want to have a little futures bet. My best bet in New Zealand, Ellerslie race number 10, Good Spot. Horse has been racing really consistently. Doesn't win out of turn, this mare, but I think she's found a really nice race in the last at Ellerslie on Derby Day. So that's race 10, number 10 at Ellerslie. And then I'm going early in the day at Flemington, another Kiwi connection here. Flemington race 1, number 4, Sands Doubt for the Tiakau Racing juggernaut. It's been $3.90 into $3.10 early. Two wins from as many starts, its last two. Just keeps on improving, this mare. Very progressive. We'll get a lovely run in transit from Barrier 5. I think she can give us a winning start to the day. So it's race 1, number 4 at Flemington, Sands Doubt.
That's very well named, that horse. Sands Doubt, without doubt. Very creative, given I'm guessing without doubt must have been taken. I'm going to go Randwick race 4, number 1, Stormboy. No, I'm not really. I'm going to go to the last race at Flemington as I aim for my hat trick. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I think Chris Waller is sending a tissue to Melbourne to race in the Blamey Stakes, and I think she'll be winning it. It is race 9 at Flemington, number 2, a tissue, and I think you're getting about $5. And I think... it looks to me absolutely her race. And I think $5 is a dead set spoil, Mytho.
Yeah, we've got a couple of runners of interest at Flemington on Saturday. I think our best is I'm going down the well of Peter Moody and Rosemont Colours again this week. We had a nice run from Legacy's ride questionable, three wide, no cover. Moesha. Hopefully, with Will Price aboard, can just take a nice little sit. She's a nice filly that Moods has had a big opinion of right from the get-go. She's well-bred, Binny filly. She's come up favourite, I see, in the market at $4.20. So a little bit of pressure on the colours and the stable on Saturday there, Moods. But she's our best. I'm excited to see a horse called Frawley go around. Only his second race start and thrown in the deep end in the English Sprint. $1 million race. Mick Price, and this is not, I know as much as Peter would like to think that this is owner placement, There was a race on Thursday night at Pakenham for this horse, where he's a $3 favourite. And Mick Price rang me this morning and said, it looks like we're going to get a run in the $1 million race. I said, well, Mick, you know, Peter's words ringing in my ears. Mick, what would you like to do? He said, well, they don't run restricted races for $1 million for three-year-olds every day of the week. Let's go for the cash. And the horse has improved since his one-start preparation late last year, where he won at Geelong in good fashion. So he's not the silliest 50-to-1 shot you can have a dollar each way on. So Spud Frawley, good luck to him, and the owners in the Rosemont Alliance. We're looking forward to seeing him dash down the straight for the big cash. So there's two you can follow on Saturday.
Just something did just pique my interest there, Anthony, and when you questioned the ride on legacies, but Jamie Carr rode legacies, and I thought in your eyes she was beyond reproach.
No, in Peter's eyes. You might remember I didn't respond last week to his outrageous claims of my jockey bashing.
I like the good old days when he used to sit up with the members and have 48 schooners and come down into the enclosure and have the apprentices crying.
Yes, I've given up those days. They were ugly days. Well, good fun for me, but not much fun for anyone else who was around me.
Pretty quiet weekend by our standards for the boutique stable. We kick off Friday night at Moonee Valley, race 7, horse 9, Nunthorpe. She resumes in the listed Able Stakes, D Lane to ride. Slightly awkward draw, but she's going well, this mare. And I think she can run well first up and fresh there. Obviously, we've touched on Randwick, where we've got Roll on High heading to the races in the surround stakes. I expect a good effort there. I think the best of mine for the weekend is race 1, horse 2, Waltz On By at Flemington. See if we can kick the day off in a winner. She resumes here in 1,100-metre mare's race. She's had one run down the straight for a narrow second in the Tallandirt Stakes a few years back as a 2-year-old filly, and the first time she's returned there since those days. And Mark Zara on board, barrier 8 of 8. She should get a nice stalking position. I think she'll be very hard to beat in the first. And as Mitho touched on, across to race 5, I think it is, we have Moesha taking her place in the 3-year-old fillies race. I think she looks well placed here. Drawn equally as well, I think 6 of 10, drawn to get a good stalking run in the race. So terrific racing. We see some terrific racing both sides of the Murray this weekend, don't we? Storm Boy, Fangirl and co. And then the Australian Guineas and the English Sprint, which are terrific races here in Melbourne. My best of the weekend, I think, touching on it earlier, was Rain Man. Each way all day, Roll on High, $13 in the surround stakes. It's a very good competitive race, but I think she's probably equally as good as any horse I have in the yard. So first run in Sydney, first trip away from home, but I expect it to run very, very well. So the surround stakes in Sydney, Roll on High each way all day, and followed up. I think you can get a little bank in the first at Flemington with Waltz On By. Good luck, good putting, and let fast horses run fast. Ladbrokes.